the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the sunshine. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's here today. And those who are not here, Lord, we pray that you be with them and keep them safe and healthy. Lord, we gather here to praise you, to sing songs of praise, to hear your message, and to have communion. And Lord, we ask that you be with each and every one of us. In your son's name, I pray, Jesus, amen.
Come tomorrow at 5:24 p.m., spring will officially arrive. You wouldn't know by today. The trees and flowers are budding, the grass and bushes are turning greener, and my personal favorite, the days are notably longer with the sunsets going past 7:30 p.m. Ecclesiastes 3:1 reminds us that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And all of nature has seemed to have received the memo that now is the time for rebirth, the time to come out of the hibernation of winter, the time to absorb the sunlight and to grow and bloom. We too have been given the opportunity to experience rebirth. Our season of rebirth began when our Lord Jesus walked out of that grave. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7 read, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saves us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." But this justification by grace did not come without cost. As we gather around this communion table, we remember the cost. We remember the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. We remember that the cost was paid to bring us out of the dark, out of that dark entrapment of sin, into that sunlight. As we welcome spring into the world, we remember that Jesus gave his earthly life so we could walk in his light. And like the flowers, we have this time on earth to bloom and to share his love. And when our time here is through, we can enjoy the everlasting daylight of eternity with him. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have this time each week set aside, that we can gather around this table at your invitation, that we can gather here and remember the sacrifice that was made for us on that cross at Calvary. We can remember our Lord and Savior Jesus, his broken body, his shed blood. We ask now that you be with each of us and with our congregation as a whole as we take these emblems and we remember this sacrifice and we remember the promises that come with it. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, folks. Please do take an opportunity to look at the bulletin and the announcements there. Just wanted to call your attention basically to the prayer list, if you would. Please take time to read the others, but please notice the prayer list. Connie Rager had her surgery this past Friday, and she's doing well. She's at home. And please want you to notice that Bill Baumgartner passed away this week. Bill was a Timothy from our congregation. Of course, that's Tom Baumgartner's brother, and Nancy Herr, Nikki Ostek's nephew. So he's related to quite a few people in the congregation. So please keep that family in your prayers. I believe the funeral is this Tuesday. So let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. A few years ago, Sarah and I went to a convention in Richmond, Virginia. It was the Eastern Christian Convention. And when we got there, I went into the hotel to check in, and there was only one lady up front checking everybody in. It was kind of odd. And there were a couple people in line in front of me, but it moved kind of quickly till we got to this one guy. And this one guy did not have a reservation. And the clerk told him, man, the place is packed. All the downtown hotels are taken. I don't have a room for you, and I doubt that you're going to be able to get a room here in town. You're probably going to have to drive 30, 45 minutes to find a motel room. And he was frustrated. And, of course, he made it very clear that he was an important man, and he needed a room. And she kept saying, I'm sorry, I don't have any rooms for you. All the rooms we have are reserved. And, of course, he did not have a reservation. Now, like I say, this man argued with this girl. She's the only one there. People began to line up behind me. And everybody's kind of getting kind of upset that's taking so long. And I don't know why she was the only girl there. You would think in a motel that's big, I mean, had to be hundreds of rooms, you would think there'd be somebody else who would come and help her. It's odd. I'm not going to tell you the name of the hotel. Let's just call it Courtyard by Marriott. But I don't know why. She was the only one there. But this guy continued to argue with her, and some of the people behind me started saying things. He turned around and glared at him, and then he went back trying to get a room. And this took, 8-10 minutes, just arguing with this poor girl. And finally, I leaned over, and I got her eye, and she looked at me, and when she thought he wasn't looking, she said, I'm sorry. You could tell her mouthing the words to me. And he saw her, and he was upset, and he turned at me, and he looked at me, and he said, do you got a problem? And I said, I don't have a problem. I have a reservation. Anyhow, he kind of laughed, and he turned back around, and he did not get a room. He didn't have any reservations. Anyhow, I walked up, and the girl said, can I help you? And I said, yeah, I have a reservation. And she said, I got a room for you. So, Randy Elkhorn writes about Ruthanna Metzger. She's a professional singer, and she was asked to sing at a wedding of a very wealthy couple. And in fact, they reserved the tallest building in Seattle for their wedding reception, the top two floors. And after the wedding, they went to this building, and they went up to the lower floor, and they had appetizers and got to talk. And then when the bride and groom got there, a waiter took them down this hallway, a beautiful hallway, with crystal and everything decorated. And they went up to this the room where the reception was going to be, and there was a waiter there taking names. And you'd stop, and he'd ask your name, and if your name was in the book, you got in. If your name wasn't in the book, you didn't get in. Of course, Ruthanna was the singer at the wedding, and she got up there, gave him her name, and he looked through the book, and he said, I don't see it. I don't see your name. Could you spell it for me? So she spelled her name for him, and he said, I'm sorry, your name's not in. Well, I was a singer at the wedding. Surely I can get in. If your name's not in the book, you can't get in. And he called to another waiter who took them to the elevator. They pushed G for garage, went down to the garage, silently got in the car and drove away. And as they left, Roy, Ruthanna's husband, said, Ruthanna, what happened? And she said, well, I got the invitation a number of months ago, and I was going to send it in, but I just never sent it in. But I was a singer at the wedding. I thought it wouldn't matter. I thought I'd be able to get in. But she wasn't able to get in because she did not have a reservation. Her name was not in the book, and she didn't get in. Sometimes, folks, and you know this, reservations are a must. And that's not only true of this world. It's also true of heaven. To get in heaven, reservations, think about it, are required. So there are two important questions we need to ask this morning. The first one is, can anybody make reservations? And the second question is, how can I be sure my reservation is secure? So the first question, can anybody make reservations? And of course, the answer to that is yes. Now, in this world, there are some places you might not be able to go because you cannot make a reservation. And you might not be able to make a reservation for a couple of reasons. First of all, you might not be invited. Reservations are required to get in certain events. And if you don't have the reservation, you can't get in. Last year, August 20th, Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck were married. And by the way, they had some problems after the marriage, but they're doing fine now. I'm sure that was weighing heavily upon your heart. They're doing okay now. And I don't know about you, but did you get an invitation to go? You know, a lot of people did not. From Hollywood, the only actor that was there was Matt Damon. Of course, Ben Affleck's, I think, best friend. Maybe a producer or a director, but basically family and friends. Not a lot of... Did you get an invitation? Were you there? I was there. I got an invitation. You don't believe me, do you? I have proof. Here's a picture. Do you see me there? See Ben? And let me enlarge it. There I am. See me? Right there. You don't recognize me? I'm not sure that's me. Doesn't that look like me? Let me give you a better picture. Here I am. Do you see me there in the white standing? Now, some of you are thinking, oh, that's Bob right there. Because I don't know if you can see it, he's bald. But that's not me, too skinny. But I'm right there. Do you see me? Do you see me? Right there. Here I am. Right there. Now, here's, of course, the truth. You know that that's not me. You know that. I wasn't there, and you weren't there either. We weren't invited. Even if we wanted to go down to his 87-acre estate, even if we bought new clothes, even if we drove all the way, we could not get in because we could not RSVP because we were not invited to RSVP. So there are some places that you can't go because you're not invited. You can't make a reservation to go. And there are some places you can't go because you can't afford it. For instance, this is a hotel room in Las Vegas. It's at the Empathy Suites. That's interesting. Empathy Suites in Las Vegas. This is the most expensive hotel room in the world. If you were going to go there and stay for one night, it would cost you $100,000. Now, maybe if you stayed for a week, they give you a break. I don't know. But $100,000 a night, the most expensive. Only basically the wealthiest 1% of the people in the world could stay here. And even when you talk about the wealthiest 1%, many of them would have to make a sacrifice to stay in this room. So there are many places in the world we might like to go, but we're not invited. There are some places we might like to go, but we don't go because we cannot afford it. But that's not the case with heaven. Everyone in the world is invited to go to heaven. Revelation 19:19 says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." That's you and me. Everyone in the world is invited. Everyone is blessed with an invitation to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Revelation 22:17 says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let one who hears come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." Everyone is invited to heaven. Heaven is inclusive. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what sin you have committed. It doesn't matter your financial status, your family name, your race, or your gender. It doesn't matter where you live, whether you're educated or not, whether you're healthy or sick. You are invited to make a reservation for heaven. Now, you might say, well, maybe I'm invited. But if the Empathy Suite is $100,000, how much does it cost to get to heaven? Well, you don't have to worry about that because your room in heaven has always been paid for you in advance. Imagine a family would like to go to Disney World, but they can't afford it. Five people in the family, mom and dad and kids, they've been trying for a couple years to go, but every time they think maybe they've saved just about money, you know, to stay outside the Disney World and travel back and forth each day and maybe take their lunch. Maybe they got enough money they can barely get in. When they think they have enough, something happens. The car breaks down or there's an emergency. They have medical bills and they just can't go. But they have a friend who loves them very much, and this friend pays for their way. Pays for them to fly down, pays for them to go in and stay inside Disney World, pays for them to buy their meals every day, pays for souvenirs for the kids. Yeah, pays for everything. That's great, isn't it? That's wonderful if someone's able to do that. But just imagine that this person who paid for everything had to make a tremendous sacrifice in order to do that. That this person really was not rich. And in order to do that, they needed to save and sacrifice for a number of years. Now, if you found out that about the person, that would really impress you. And you see, that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus made this tremendous sacrifice to reserve us a room, to pay for our room, in heaven. He came to earth, he took our sins upon his shoulders, and he died on the cross that we can have reservations in heaven. And he did that because he loves us and he wants us to go to heaven. So we are invited to go to heaven, and the cost has been paid for us to go to heaven. All we need to do now is make the reservations. Now, how do you make reservations to get to heaven? Well, you know, it's as simple as A, B, C, D. Let's look at it this way. First of all, it's A. We need to admit that we are sinners. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 reminds us that we have all sinned. And then the Bible reminds us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't get to heaven because of our own righteousness. We get to heaven because of imputed righteousness, because of what Christ has done for us. The Bible says our holy acts are like dirty rags, filthy rags in the presence of God. You know, we compare ourselves to somebody around us, maybe even somebody here, and we look pretty righteous. But we compare ourselves to God, and we're not so holy. So we have to admit that we are sinners. We have to realize we're lost, and we need to be saved. And next, we need to believe in Christ. And when I say believe, I'm not talking about just an intellectual belief that he existed, that he walked on earth, and that even he's the Son of God. The Bible says in James, the demons believe, and they tremble. But are demons getting to heaven? No. So belief is more than just an understanding of who Jesus is. Belief is this desire to follow him and do what he asks us to do. And then we need to confess. Romans 10:10 says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Every so often hear people say, my faith is private, between me and God. We don't see that in the Bible. People ought to know that we are Christians. They ought to know what we stand for and who we love. And then D is simply we demonstrate our faith by repenting and being baptized into Christ. Now, of course, repenting simply means turning around. Rather than going the direction we particularly might want to go, we're going to go God's direction. Rather than doing what we might want to do, if it's against what God wants us to do, we're going to go the direction God wants us to do. That's called repentance. And then, of course, there's baptism. And baptism in the scripture is immersion in the water. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter said this on the day of Pentecost. This was the first gospel message ever preached, the first invitation ever given. And he tells these people, listen, you need to repent. You need to be baptized. Galatians 3:27 says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Did you get that? If you were baptized into Christ, you have been clothed yourself with Christ, which brings up the question, if you are not baptized, are you then clothed with Christ? Now listen, folks, baptism alone doesn't save. You can go down into that water, a sinner, and come up out of that water, a sinner. Just going underwater doesn't remove your sins. You have to first do the A. You have to admit, and you have to believe in who Jesus is. And you have to confess Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And then you need to repent, saying, I'm going to change the way I live. I'm going to live under the direction of God. And then you're baptized. And the Bible calls that being born again. And you can say the date. As you know, when you were born into this world, you can say the date when you were born into the kingdom of God. 1 Peter chapter 3:20 says, in it, and he's talking about here Noah's Ark. He says, in it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved. Notice, through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now, what's the word there? Saves you also. Now, you're going to have a lot of preachers who are going to tell you baptism has nothing to do with salvation. But who are you going to believe? What the scripture says, or what Peter says, or what some preacher says? Now, baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, and a pledge, but a pledge of good conscience toward God. Why does he give us a pledge of? Because our sins are removed. And when we're baptized into Christ, now we can feel good before God because we come before him cleansed. And it saves you by the resurrection of Christ Jesus. The Bible often talks about people being baptized and being saved. Now, not because baptism alone saves us. It doesn't. If we do not believe, if we have not repented, if we have not confessed, that baptism is meaningless. But baptism, the Bible makes it clear, is that final act that brings us into Christ Jesus. So that's how we reserve our spot in heaven. It's as easy as A, B, C, and D. You've been invited to heaven. The cost of heaven has been paid. Now, what you have to do, if you haven't, is make your reservations. Now, throughout the Bible, there is a book spoken of that has the names of those who are going to heaven written in it. The names of those who have placed the reservations. And if your name is not in that book, you don't get in. Just like Joanna at the wedding reception. Exodus 32:33, read about the Israelites worshiping the golden calf. And through Moses, God speaks to the Israelites and he says this: whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Somewhere God has this book with names of people who are getting in. Luke 10:20, a book isn't specifically mentioned, but it's hinted at. And Jesus says to his 72 disciples who just come back from their mission, he says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And the Hebrew writer does something similar in Hebrew 12. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn. Get this. Whose names are written in heaven. Paul writes to the Philippians and he says, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. The book of life is mentioned 6 times in the book of Revelation. We're not going to read all 6, but I'm going to share a few of them with you. Revelation 20:15, and he whose name was not written or not found written in the book of life was thrown in the lake of fire. If you don't have reservations for heaven, you have reservations for hell. If your name's not written in the book of life, thrown in lake of fire. Revelation 21:27, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose name is written in the Lamb's book of life. If your name is in the Lamb's book of life, you have reservations, and heaven is yours. Now you might be asked, how can I be sure? How can I be sure my reservation is secure? How can I be sure that my name will not be blotted out? See, that's possible. Remember what Moses said? He would blot their names out. It's possible to have our names blotted out of the book. It's not desirable, and it's not as easy as some people think, but it's possible to have our names blotted out of the book. Revelation 3:5 says, he who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. And I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name, my Father and his angels. You see, it's possible to have our names blotted out of the book. It's possible to have our reservations canceled. But we have to do that. God's not going to do that. Listen, God did not send his son to die upon the cross to kick you out of heaven easily. He sent his son to die upon the cross to secure your reservation. And as long as you strive to follow him, he's going to forgive your sins and your reservation is secure. Your name is in the book and he will not blot it out. So canceling your reservation is not an easy thing. You need to reject God's word. You need to reject his guidance. You need to reject his church. And you need to refuse to follow him. He didn't pay the cost of getting you into heaven just to have you be lost because of some minor incident. He loves you and he wants you in heaven. So in 1 John 5:13 we read, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may, what's the word there? Know that you have eternal life. You can be confident. You can be sure that your reservation is secure. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. That is, don't worry, don't be afraid, don't doubt, quit fretting. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, there you may be also. Quit worrying, if you're a Christian, about whether or not you're going to get to heaven. The Bible makes it very clear, your name is in the book, and your reservation is secure. Heaven is a wonderful place, one that we love to sing about. So at this time, Jim's going to come forward. He's going to lead us in a few songs about heaven.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.